Democratic and Republican.
We're going to go out and we will create more and better jobs. And we will be in a great
city
state
council.
Again.
It's Wednesday, the morning we speak with Michigan Radio's political analyst Jack Lessenberry about what's going on in state politics. Well, it looks like U.S. Representative John Conyers might have some troubles leading up to the August primary. That's because two of his petition circulators weren't registered voters at the time. If you listen on the situation, Jack.
Well, this is reminiscent, Emily, of a couple of years ago when Thaddeus McCotter, a Republican representative from suburban Detroit, when it turned out that his circulators had just Xeroxed the old signatures and pasted them on, and they were caught, and that was the end of his congressional career. If, in fact, the question, this is much more complicated. Conyers, as I understand, has turned in more than 2,000 signatures. He only needs 1,000 valid ones. And there seems not to be a question about whether the signatures themselves are valid, but whether the circulators are registered voters, which they have to be. Now, some of them may be invalidated. Let's say that one man who wasn't collected 400, well, that would still leave 1,600. As long as he has 1,000 valid ones, he'll be okay. But if he doesn't, if he's thrown off the ballot, this will mean that the only person on the ballot would be the Reverend Horace Sheffield. Conyers could, of course, try a write-in campaign, but those haven't been too successful. And the second longest career in Congress would come to an abrupt and unexpected end.
And if you had to make a bet, do you think that we will see his name on the August primary ballot?
My guess is yes. My guess is based on what I know, and this is only what I know, and it's not definitive, is that he probably has enough signatures. And if he is on the ballot, of course, he'll be the overwhelming favorite to win. And if he wins the primary in the general election, it's a very Democratic district, he will then be the longest-serving current member of Congress because John Dingell's retiring. But we just have to wait and see if these signatures are certified.
Well, in other news this week, the state's emergency loan board is running out of money. After giving money to help out Muskegon Heights and Pontiac schools this week, we learned the board has now used 97% of the money it's allowed to lend through 2018. Now, schools are not done with financial problems in the state. So, Jack, what happens now when schools are still pinching pennies and struggling to pay teachers?
That'll be a real big question, and the question is, are we going to have more emergency managers? Basically, there's just not enough money. What's happened is that the state has somewhat reduced the per pupil foundation allowance, the mainstay of school financing since Proposal A is the foundation allowance paid by the state to the different districts, but they also still get some millage revenue, and in places like Muskegon Heights, which is sort of the today's poster child for school districts in trouble, the property values have fallen, and then we get into a situation is the legislature willing to appropriate more money for this fund and for the schools? And in an election year, that's very doubtful. What a lot of people are saying was that Proposal A, which is 20 years old this year, was a good measure for the time. It worked for a while, but now it's proven clearly inadequate, and we have to do something very different and get very serious about financing public education in the state.
Well, urban farmers were not pleased this week. Local governments now have more say in if people can raise goats, chickens, and other farm animals in their backyards. Before, these folks had protections under the state's right to farm law. How is this going to affect communities in more urban areas where this has been a source of debate?
Well, it's all sort of muddy what this actually does. Some people say, well, this just codifies what existed already, that it's a matter for local ordinances, and the sort of backyard farmers feel aggrieved. They say that this is all a plot to just boost big agriculture and the factory farms and prevent people from feeding themselves. And on the other side, I think it should be noted that some people who buy houses in quiet suburban areas really don't want to wake up the chickens and really don't want to smell goats and pigs in the backyard. So it is sort of an age-old matter of hashing out personal rights versus community rights.
All right, Jack, as always, thanks for your insights.
Always a pleasure.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's political analyst.